Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and I want to thank you for listening to our program this morning. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given our meeting times at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We also ask you to check out our website, www.churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your Bible study. You will also find free copies of all these radio broadcasts, along with sermons and audios and sermons that have been preached at Harrisburg, along with many study materials that will help you in your study of God's Word. We freely encourage you to check us out. Let's begin this morning by reading some verses from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Guard your steps as you go to the house of God, and draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil. Do not be hasty in word or impulsive in thought to bring a matter in the presence of God, for God is in heaven, you are on earth. Therefore let your words be few. For the dream comes through effort, and the voice of a fool through many words. When you make a vow to God, do not be late in paying it, for he takes no delight in fools. Pay what you have vowed. It is better that you should not vow than you should vow and not pay. Many times, while working down in my office, I listen to the radio or a CD player I have, and I have always liked country music. The other day, Randy Travis had a song called Good Intentions. This song kept sticking in my memory and the thought that was expressed, and I want to share some of those thoughts with you this morning. What is an intention? An intention is a determination to act in a certain way, or we might say a resolve. Many people make grand and wonderful plans for the future. It is a good thing to always be reevaluating where we are, how we are doing, where I am going, and how should I get there. Some brethren have made some great plans in the spiritual areas of their lives, yet so often those plans never seem to be realized. No matter how good the intention, it is never followed through with. What good was accomplished by making it? No matter how good the intention, if it is never followed through, it has little or no value. Unfortunately, we are very good at not following through with our intentions. We have a word for that. It's called procrastination. Procrastination is to put off unusually the habit of doing something that should be done today to move forward to another day. What is the old proverb? Never put off tomorrow what you can do today. Sadly, that is exactly what so many do today, especially in the spiritual arena of their lives. As we read in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verses 1 through 5, we should be careful about what we vow to pay to our God. We should be careful what we promise to do if we have no intentions of ever following it through. Let me give you a couple of biblical examples, and then we will make some application. Solomon, when he was very young, was called upon to be king, to reign in the place of his father David. He was asked by God to ask for anything that he wanted. He chose to have wisdom. In 1 Kings 3 and verse 8, he asked for wisdom to be able to guide and direct God's people. What a wonderful choice, and it showed much wisdom in him asking for wisdom. And so God granted his request and gave him wisdom that there were none like him before him or none that were like him after. But he also gave him all the other things that he didn't ask for: authority, riches, power. He had everything. And yet, what did he do with that great wisdom? What did he do with the wisdom that God gave him and blessed him with? In 1 Kings chapter 11, we see that the wives that he married, and he married many, were able to lead his heart away from God and into idolatry. You see, Solomon had great wisdom, and people came from all over the world to sit at his feet and to hear his wisdom. But sadly, he never applied it to himself. The rich young ruler in Matthew 19 came to the best person and asked the best question that would be possible. What must I do to inherit eternal life? He got the answer from the Lord because the Lord knew that his stumbling block were his riches, and he had to sell what he had and come and follow God. You remember, he wanted to know what he needed to do to have eternal life. But Matthew 19 and verse 22 say that he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. In Mark's account, we are told that he trusted in his riches, and that was his problem. You see, he wanted salvation, and he wanted to do what was right, but he didn't follow through when he got the right answer. Paul, preaching to Felix, considered the words of Paul. It says that he trembled when he thought about the judgment to come, and he said, "Go thy way, for a more convenient season I will call for thee," in Acts chapter 24, 24 and 25. And yet the scriptures never tell us that that convenient day ever came. He understood that he needed to heed the words of Paul. He understood that judgment was coming. He understood he wasn't prepared, and he wanted to do what was right, but he just never got around to it. And then the Apostle Peter, when in the presence of the Lord, was told that before the cock crew that day, that he would deny the Lord three times. But yet he said he would follow the Lord to the very end. Even if he had to die, he would never betray his Lord, in Matthew 26, 33-35. But when it came time for him to follow through with his intention, he was warming his hands around the fire of the enemy. And they had now arrested Jesus, and they were about to put him through his mockery of trials. And on three different occasions, when people came to him and said that he was with him, and he was one of them, he denied it three times. Yet earlier, hours earlier, he had said that he would follow Jesus even if it meant his death. You see, it was a good intention, but he didn't follow through with it. Thanks be to God that Peter understood his mistake, repented of his sin, and did great things for God and his cause. But what about us? Maybe we have this same problem in our lives of making good intentions, but yet we never seem to follow through with them. Let me give you some classics that I've heard in my life as a gospel preacher. I know that I need to obey the gospel. I know that I'm separated from God by my sin, and I'm going to obey the gospel someday. Someday. What does that mean, someday? Someday is not on our calendar. Someday is a way of putting off today what we know we need to do for another day. But you see, the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 2 and 2 Peter 3 and verse 10 that the Lord will come as a thief in the night. We're also told that we are going to die, and after death cometh the judgment, Hebrews 9 verse 27. Problem is, dear listener, we don't know when either one of those events are going to take place. We don't know when the Lord's going to come back, and we don't know when our time on earth will expire. And yet we have to follow through with our intention. This is nothing more than putting off what you know you need to do. I have talked to people who are having problems in their life, and they're searching for answers to their problems to be able to remedy them. And they have left the church because they have become disenchanted. I will come back to God when I have my problem solved, but I still love Him. Ladies and gentlemen, any problem that you try to solve without God, it just added another problem to your list. What problem can anyone solve without His help? We're told in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 to cast our care upon Him, for He cares for you. In Romans 8 verse 31, we read, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" In Matthew the 6th chapter and verse 8, we're told that He knows what we need even before we ask. And in Hebrews 13 verse 5 and 6, we are told that He will never leave us nor forsake us. You see, you don't have a problem that you can solve on your own. And the greatest problem you have is your sin problem. And the only one that can help you solve that problem is God. And so putting it off may put you in a position where you'll never be able to accomplish it. Why not accomplish it while you have time and opportunity? And then the classic that I've heard all my life from religious people, and even many of my brethren, is, "I'm going to read and study my Bible more, so I'll be able to teach classes and be better prepared to teach my friends and my neighbors. Many make this promise. What they forget is, whatever caused you not to read your Bible in the past must be dealt with now. If you lack desire, now you're going to have to get it. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. If you lack a love for the law, you're going to have to develop it. Romans 12, verse 11. If you want to be fervent in spirit, and you haven't been, you're going to have to develop it. Psalms chapter 119, 15, and 16. And if you have no delight in God's word right now, you're going to have to develop it. Psalms 119, verse 150. The word gives life. What book would be more important you for read and study than the Bible? Is the Bible a book that you intend to read? You have thought about reading? You have thought about giving it time to study it, but you just never seem to get around to it? Why not make a resolution to begin to study and read your Bible and see what God would have you do with your life? And then, there are those who are my brethren in the Lord's church that say, I'm going to be more active in the work of the church. Well, the Bible tells us there's plenty of work to do, but few laborers, Matthew 9, 37. We must continue to be steadfast, according to Philippians 3, verse 7 through 17. But there are too many who they're not able. But they're not able not because they don't have the ability, because they have not applied it. If you read carefully Hebrews 5, 12 through 14, the writer of Hebrews chastises men and women who should have been at the point where they should have been teachers, but they had need of others to come in and teach them again. Why? Because they had not exercised their senses to discern before good and evil. And so you see, it means very little if you intend to do something, but you never follow through with it. All good intentions are useless and vain and unprofitable if you never follow through with them. If we make a determination that something is good and honorable and something that we should be doing, then let us follow through with it so that intention will be realized. I want to share with you the chorus of the song that I was speaking about earlier. I hear the road to hell is paved with good intentions, and my intentions were the best. Yes, my friends, the graves in the realm of Hades are full of those who truly intended to do better. Yet they fell short because time ran out on them. Next time you're making a promise and a plan for your service to God, remember the words of Solomon. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let your heart not utter anything hastily before God. God is in heaven, you on earth. Therefore let your words be few, for a dream comes through many activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Ecclesiastes 5, 2 through 5. Let us soberly think about what we promised to do, and let's get busy doing it. Don't allow yourself to be one in the grave of those who never got around to it, or that time ran out, or that you intended to do it, but it didn't seem that you had time. Good intention. A good intention has no validity and no value if it's not followed through. Let us follow through with what we intend to do, and let us attend to serve our God to the best of our ability. Thank you.